Welcome to another deep dive. We've got a really interesting guide to unpack today called The Spiritual Sikh, a guide for neophytes. It's for folks just starting out on their spiritual journey, and it's packed with all sorts of ideas and concepts.
It is. It's quite comprehensive, covers so much ground, from the very basic differences between religion and spirituality, all the way to like reincarnation and moksha.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in, so let's try to break it down for our listener.
Absolutely.
I think one of the first things that really struck me was how it talked about that difference between religion and spirituality.
Yeah.
It almost seemed like it was saying, you know, religion is more about believing in a set doctrine, where spirituality is about cultivating like an inner knowing.
Right. It's a really important distinction to make. You know, religion often has that external authority, that predefined set of beliefs, whereas spirituality, it really encourages you to look inward, you know, to seek answers from within, connect with your own inner wisdom. It's more about personal faith that goes beyond any kind of dogma.
Yeah, it reminds me of like the difference between following a recipe and creating your own, you know, culinary masterpiece.
Okay, I like that.
Religion gives you the ingredients and the instructions.
Yeah.
But spirituality is like, hey, experiment, trust your intuition, savor those unique flavors of your own, you know, spiritual journey.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And what's interesting is the guide doesn't say that one is better than the other. It just highlights the different approaches. You know, it says, hey, reader, think about it. Which one of these feels more like genuinely you?
Exactly. It's all about finding that path that feels authentic.
Yeah.
And I feel like that idea of authenticity kind of runs through the whole guide.
It does.
Like, it also talks about the difference between psychology and spirituality.
Yeah.
Saying that psychology focuses on the mind and spirituality encompasses the whole being, including, you know, the soul and the spirit.
Yeah. And I think what they're trying to get at there is like, there are some limitations to just a purely psychological approach when we're talking about like the deeper questions of existence. Psychology is great. It helps us understand our thoughts and behaviors, but it might not fully address that yearning for meaning, for purpose, for connection. And that's often like what drives people to seek out a spiritual path.
Yeah, it's like acknowledging that psychology has its place, but it's not the whole picture, right?
Right.
It's like trying to understand the ocean just by studying the waves.
Right.
You need to dive deeper, right, to see those depths of the currents, the vastness beneath the surface.
Exactly.
I feel like that leads us beautifully into the next point that the guide makes, which is the importance of self-knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, they emphasize that ancient wisdom, yung ti certain, no se ti ipsum, know thyself.
All right.
Feels like the foundation of any spiritual journey.
Right. It's crucial. And it's not just about, you know, knowing your personality type or what your favorite color is. It's about those deeper layers.
Right, yeah.
It's about exploring the essence of your soul, your spirit, and recognizing your interconnectedness to everything around you.
Like peeling back the layers of an onion. But instead of tears, you find wonder and a deeper understanding of who you truly are.
I love that. And they give us a really practical framework for doing that by breaking down the human experience into four key components: body, mind, soul, and spirit.
They call them the four basic components of human beings.
Right.
And they even point out that order, body, mind, soul, spirit,
right,
that it reflects this progression from the tangible to the intangible.
Absolutely.
Starting with the body, our physical vessel, the foundation of our experience here in the material world. Like, think about how your body feels right now, listener. Notice those sensations, your breath flowing in and out, maybe the gentle rhythm of your heartbeat.
That's your body grounding you in the present moment.
Then we have the mind.
Mm.
That's an incredible instrument, right?
Amazing.
Capable of thought, imagination, reason. But also, as the guide points out, the mind can be a source of suffering.
Absolutely.
If we become too identified with our thoughts, if we believe every story it tells us.
It's like being trapped in a hall of mirrors, you know, constantly chasing after those fleeting thoughts and emotions, never really finding solid ground.
Yeah. And then we move into these more subtle realms, right? The soul and the spirit.
Right.
The guide describes the soul as like the seat of our individuality, our essence, while the spirit is our connection to something greater than ourselves, like a spark of the divine within us.
Yeah. Imagine your soul, like this unique, beautiful flame burning brightly within you. And that flame is connected to a vast and luminous source, a source of love, wisdom, and compassion. that's your spirit linking you to that universal energy that flows through all things.
It's a pretty profound concept, isn't it?
It is.
Like we're these multi-layered beings rooted in both the physical and the spiritual.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And then to illustrate this concept of spiritual awakening, the guide uses some really interesting metaphors.
Oh, yeah.
Like they draw parallels to The Truman Show and Plato's Myth of the Cave.
Yeah, I thought those were great.
They are. They're brilliant because they take these kind of abstract ideas and make them really relatable, you know? Like in The Truman Show, you've got this guy who gradually realizes that his whole life has been a staged reality show.
Right.
And that really resonates with the idea of spiritual awakening, like breaking free from those limiting beliefs and seeing the world with fresh eyes.
It's like waking up from a dream and realizing there's so much more to life than you previously perceived.
Exactly. And then Plato's Myth of the Cave takes it a step further, right? You got these prisoners chained in a cave, mistaking shadows for reality. And then one prisoner, he escapes, experiences the real world outside. He goes back to tell the others, and they don't believe him.
It's a powerful image of how hard it can be to break free from those ingrained perceptions, to step outside the cave of our own limited thinking. What cave might we be trapped in right now and not even realize it, listener?
Right. That's a good question to ask ourselves. And the guide, you know, it encourages us to question our assumptions, to examine our beliefs and be open to new perspectives.
To embrace the unknown.
Exactly. And go on that journey of self-discovery, even if it means challenging the status quo.
And speaking of challenging the status quo, the guide then delves into interpretations of Jesus's teachings, introduces Gnostic philosophy.
Right.
Both of them emphasizing a journey beyond the material world.
Yeah.
It's like it's offering different lenses through which to view the same core idea, right? This pursuit of spiritual liberation.
Exactly. It's just trying to like broaden our understanding.
Yeah.
Encourage us to consider different pathways, different ways to grow spiritually, because there's no one right way, you know?
Right.
It's about finding what resonates with you, what speaks to your soul.
And then it goes on to introduce the concepts of consciousness and awareness, presenting them as the foundation for spiritual evolution.
Yeah.
Defining consciousness as our basic state of being aware, and awareness is described as like a heightened state of attentiveness and understanding.
So think of consciousness as like the light that illuminates our experience, right? Just being awake, being present in the moment. Awareness is more like focusing that light. You're directing it towards specific aspects of your experience.
Oh, okay.
It's about actively observing your thoughts, your emotions, your sensations without judgment, and cultivating that deeper understanding of yourself and the world around you.
So consciousness is the foundation.
Yeah.
And awareness is like the active engagement with that foundation.
Exactly. And the guide says that cultivating both of those is crucial for spiritual growth. We need that consciousness to experience the world, but we need awareness to really understand its depth, its complexity, and our place within it.
It's like we need to be awake to see the world, but we need to be aware to see ourselves reflected in it.
Beautifully put. And that leads us to two more really intricate concepts presented in the guide, reincarnation and moksha. Have you ever considered the possibility, listener, that this life is just one chapter in a much larger story, one that extends beyond birth and death?
The guide introduces this idea of reincarnation as like a cyclical journey of the soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through multiple lifetimes, each one offering new opportunities for growth, for learning. And then moksha, a term from Sanskrit, is presented as the ultimate goal, liberation from that cycle of reincarnation.
Imagine a state of being, you know, so fully realized that you actually transcend those limitations of ego and suffering. You reach a state of pure bliss, of liberation. That's moksha, the ultimate aspiration for many spiritual traditions.
It's a pretty mind-blowing concept.
Mm-hmm.
How does this understanding of reincarnation and moksha like impact how we view life, death, and the purpose of our spiritual journey?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
It's a huge question, and I think the guide is really just inviting us to explore that for ourselves. Like, if we even just entertain the possibility that we've lived before and that we will live again, that can totally shift our perspective on everything, right?
Yeah.
It might make us reevaluate our priorities, our values, and approach life with a renewed sense of purpose and meaning. But there's even more to uncover in this guide. We've got near-death experiences and a really intriguing concept of 14 stages of spiritual liberation. Maybe we should dive into those next.
Yeah, those near-death experiences, NDEs. The guide really gets into those.
They've always been kind of mysterious, haven't they? Like, what are they all about? And the guide seems to suggest they offer a little peek into what might be beyond this earthly life we know.
Yeah, a little glimpse behind the curtain, right? Yeah.
And they suggest that it gives us some clues about the possibility of, you know, life after death.
Right, exactly.
And what I find so fascinating is you have all these people from different backgrounds, different belief systems, and yet their NDEs are so similar.
It is interesting. Like, what kind of common threads are we talking about?
Well, a lot of times people describe these feelings of, like, intense peace or joy.
Oh, wow.
Encounters with deceased loved ones being outside of their own body.
Whoa.
Almost as if they're watching from a distance, like a detached observer.
That's wild.
Isn't it? Some even talk about a life review, where they're seeing key moments from their past, like they're watching a film of their own life.
Really? It's like their life is flashing before their eyes.
Exactly. And, you know, it makes you wonder, right? Even though these are really personal experiences, subjective, it seems to point to some kind of shared reality, something beyond what we currently understand.
That really makes you think. Like, if these accounts are more than just hallucinations, what do they tell us about consciousness itself? Could it be, you know, evidence that consciousness continues even after our physical bodies are gone?
Yeah, it's a huge question.
Yeah.
And science is still trying to figure it all out, but the guide suggests that these NDEs offer some pretty compelling evidence that lines up with that whole reincarnation idea.
Right. Adds another layer to this whole thing, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like peeking through a keyhole into a world we can barely glimpse. Makes you curious. And it definitely challenges those ideas we have about life and death.
It does. And you know, the guide doesn't just stop at reincarnation. It goes a step further and outlines 14 stages of spiritual liberation.
14 stages. Okay, now we're talking. Yeah. Like a roadmap for our spiritual evolution.
It is, yeah. But think of it less like a rigid step-by-step thing and more like this fluid, cyclical process of, you know, growth and evolution.
Okay, I see. And what's the starting point on this map?
Well, the guide suggests we begin in a state of, like, unconsciousness, where we're pretty much unaware of our spiritual nature. We're driven by those material desires, the ego's impulses.
So, like, going through the motions, not really tuned in to our deeper selves.
Yeah, it's almost like sleepwalking through life, caught in that loop of seeking fulfillment outside of ourselves and never really connecting with what's within.
I think we've all been there at some point.
For sure, but then something happens, right? Maybe it's a personal crisis or a loss or even like a moment of pure joy. Something shakes us awake and sparks that sense of seeking.
We start asking those big questions.
Exactly. Like, what's the meaning of life? We start exploring different philosophies, religions, spiritual practices, just looking for answers.
Like embarking on a big adventure.
It is an adventure.
Trying on different lenses to see which one helps us see the world more clearly.
Right. And as we go deeper, we cultivate that awareness, becoming more conscious of our thoughts, our emotions, our behavior. We start to see how everything's interconnected and realize how much of our perception is shaped by our ego.
So it's not just looking outward. It's also about turning that attention inward, getting to know ourselves better.
Yeah, exactly. And that leads to a sense of responsibility, that realization that our actions have consequences, not just for us, but for everyone and everything around us.
Like we're stepping into our power.
We are.
Recognizing that we actually have a role to play in shaping reality and contributing to the well-being of others.
Exactly. And as we continue to evolve, we experience a shift in perspective. We move from that self-centered view to a more, you know, expansive and compassionate understanding of life.
We start to see ourselves reflected in others, recognize that shared humanity that connects us all.
Right. And that often leads to this desire for service. We want to do something good for others, make a positive difference in the world.
It's like our hearts are opening up to a wider circle of care and compassion.
It is. And that desire fuels our spiritual practice. We start engaging in things that nourish our soul, connect us to something bigger than ourselves.
So it's not just reading about spirituality, it's about putting it into practice.
It is, exactly. Whether it's meditation, prayer, spending time in nature, or just doing acts of kindness, it's about actively living those principles.
Living these principles, I like that.
And as that practice deepens, we experience transformation. We shed old patterns, beliefs that don't serve us anymore.
We're letting go.
We are, and embracing a more authentic and aligned way of being.
like shedding a skin that's become too tight, allowing ourselves to grow into who we're truly meant to be.
Exactly. And with that comes inner peace and joy, because we're aligned with our true nature.
That sounds amazing.
It is. And, you know, the guide reminds us it's not a straight line, this journey. No. There's going to be times of stagnation, maybe even setbacks, regression.
Sure, that's life.
Right? It is. And the guide encourages us to embrace all of it, you know. Trust that every experience, even the tough ones, they're offering us valuable lessons.
It's like navigating a winding path through a forest. There might be obstacles, but with each step, we're getting closer to where we need to be.
Exactly. And at the end of it all, the guide suggests that we reach the state of awareness, a state of profound wisdom, compassion, and liberation.
Wow.
Where we move beyond the limitations of our ego and realize we're all connected.
That's a beautiful vision.
It is. And it reminds us that this isn't just some abstract concept. It's a real possibility open to everyone.
A beautiful possibility.
It is, and an invitation to embark on that journey of self-discovery, to wake up to the infinite possibilities within us. What do you think?
Yeah, it really is inspiring to think about all of that as this path, you know, towards greater awareness and connection. It makes you wonder, though, is there ever a point where, like, you've arrived, you've achieved complete enlightenment, and you can just, I don't know, coast?
Well, you know, the guide kind of suggests that the journey itself is the destination, like spiritual growth. It's not a finish line you cross. It's an ongoing process. And it even says that there's no opposite of awakening.
That's interesting.
So once you've started to question things, see them from a new perspective. You can't just go back, you know, back to being blissfully unaware.
It's like Alice going through the looking glass. There's no turning back from that experience, you know, seeing the world in a totally different way. But that doesn't mean it's always easy. Right.
Right, exactly. The guide acknowledges that awakening can be, well, it can be both exhilarating and a little bit scary. Like it says, those who sleep aren't aware of anything, while those who awaken can no longer pretend not to see, perceive, and know.
That's powerful.
It is. There's a responsibility that comes with that greater awareness, a deeper sensitivity to the world, to all of its, you know, joys and sorrows.
So it's not about achieving some kind of blissful detachment. It's about engaging more fully with life.
Right. Yay. With all its messiness and beauty.
Exactly. And I feel like the guide gives us so many tools and insights to help us on that path.
It does.
You know, from understanding those core differences between religion and spirituality to exploring, like, what it even means to be human, body, mind, soul, spirit.
Right. It helps us understand ourselves and our place in the universe a little bit better.
Exactly. It's like a map, you know, that points out those key landmarks along the way. But it's not telling us exactly which route to take. It's encouraging us to find our own way, experiment with different practices, and trust that inner voice.
Remember, there's no one size fits all. What works for one person might not work for another. The most important thing is to find what nourishes your soul, what helps you connect with your own inner wisdom.
That's a great point. And, you know, for anyone who's starting out on this journey, it can feel overwhelming, right?
It can be, yeah.
You're suddenly faced with these huge questions, trying to wrap your head around things like reincarnation and spiritual liberation. But the guide reminds us that it's a process. It unfolds over time, and we don't need to rush to have all the answers right away.
It's okay to take your time to explore and to grow at your own pace.
So to our listener who brought us this amazing guide, we hope this deep dive has been helpful. We hope it sparked some new ideas and maybe even a sense of excitement for the journey ahead.
What resonated with you the most, listener? What questions are you still thinking about? Remember, the journey is yours to create. Embrace the mystery, trust your intuition, and allow yourself to be transformed by this process of awakening.
And as you go on exploring that vast landscape of your inner world, we'll leave you with this. The soul's journey has a beginning, but no final destination. It kicks off from a spark that strikes within us like lightning on a sunny day, and from that moment on, there is no turning back. Happy exploring.